It's a great joy for me to be with you on yet another Sing conference, and this time meeting together in this particular way. But more than that, on the occasion of the 20th anniversary of the In Christ Alone hymn. I don't know about you, but I remember very vividly the first time I ever heard this hymn being sung. It was on the 24th of October, the year 2004. I even know where I was. I was here in the U.S. preaching at a church in Arkansas, and they were going through the five solas of the Reformation, and I'd been asked to handle Solus Christus, Christ alone. And I came, I preached, and after preaching, this song was sung. I've never forgotten that it swept me off my feet. In fact, I was heading all the way back to Zambia in Africa with this song still playing largely in my mind, not realizing how new it was, and not realizing the place in Christian hymnody that it was going to play many, many years after that. So it's a real joy for me to be here participating in this conference in the light of that hymn. I'm speaking on the last two lines of that great hymn, till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. And in order for us to appreciate something of the heart that lies behind those two lines, on one hand, speaking about the great hope that is unique to the Christian faith, that is related to either the Lord at the point of death taking me, ushering me straight into his presence, or when he himself returns to wrap up all history, and then I will be part of that happy band that is carried with him into glory. For us, let's think a little bit more about that. Let me draw your attention to a piece of early Christian hymnody that is found at the end of 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I will read the 16th verse. The Bible says there, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory." In those few words, you can see literally the summation of what we have come to hold dearly as God's children, the Christian faith. And as you can see there, there's hardly anything about what we ourselves are busy doing, although it is hidden there, I'll bring it out, but it's largely to do with what our great God has done and what our great God continues to do across the entire period of history. I want us to delve into it by asking three simple questions. The first is, what is it that necessitated God being manifested in the flesh? The Apostle Paul enters into these few words, having talked to Timothy about the qualifications he ought to ensure should be the foundation or the basis for bringing people into the office of elders and deacons. Well, what has that got to do with this piece of hymnody? Well, it is because, as he goes on to say, the church is not ours. The church belongs to God. It is his household. It is the church of the living God. And it has a purpose to maintain this glorious truth, to be a pillar and foundation of God's truth. Well, what is that truth? And that's how he enters into this. There is a background to God being manifested in the flesh, and it is related to the very task that he has given the church. And it's the fact of the devastating effect of sin upon the human race, the damage that it has done to us. If you take your Bible seriously, you will know that humanity is in bad shape, has been in bad shape since Genesis and chapter 3. That is speaking literally in every sense, but especially spiritually and morally. The human mind is hostile to God. The human heart is desperately wicked. In fact, the Bible says, who can understand it? It is beyond cure. The human will is captivated to sin. In fact, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, captures that bondage to sin in three ways: being in bondage to the devil, being in bondage to the world, and being in bondage to our own fallen nature. And as if that was not enough, the devastating damage that took place in the fall is that humankind, from that point onwards, has been under the wrath of Almighty God. That's what explains the world in which we are. Totally hopeless, totally helpless, unless God comes in. Well, it is this God coming in that we now see in these words. Allow me to quickly take you through them, helping you to appreciate something which is there as I answer my second question. What did God do, and what has he continued to do in this rescue operation in which he alone can rescue? No angels can do anything. No human being can do anything with all the advancement that might be there in human science. Well, he was manifested in the flesh, refers to the coming of our Savior into the world, a little baby born in Bethlehem, living the life that he lived, finally in the flesh, dying the death that he did. Vindicated by the Spirit, referring to something of the way in which he was raised from the dead by the power of the Spirit, having been helped even in death by the same Spirit. And therefore, he has not only paid the price for our sins, but he has also vanquished death completely. Seen by angels, referring to his ascension and coronation at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And this time, not simply as he was before, but now as the great God-man, looking like a lamb that was slain, arriving in heaven with that standing ovation of the angelic beings, as he is now given the power to reign upon all of history until all the elect of God are gathered in. Well, there we have it, proclaimed among the nations. To borrow his own words, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. It is this end of the age that we will be coming to in a moment. There is the achievement that is inevitably going to happen across history, and it is this: believed on in the world. The gospel has been bearing fruit through the power of God's Spirit and will continue to bear that fruit. And then finally taken up in glory. Not simply the first ascension, but especially related to the second ascension after he descends and then carries his people with him in his train, in victory to glory, and history is wrapped up. We're in the midst of that. We are looking forward to it, either as individuals on the day he calls me home, or collectively, as that great hymn says, till he returns. Whichever way it is a victorious end to which we are going. And the reason why I know, the reason why you should know that you, if you're a child of God, will be part of that great and glorious end is because of those same words we are looking at. In the power of Christ, I stand. It's not our own doing. It is through his own ability. And therefore, with all our weaknesses, past and present, with all the unknowns as far as the future is concerned, until he comes, with all that in the mix, you can be here today knowing that what I am today and what I ever hope to be has been procured in the person of my great Redeemer. Mine, therefore, is to love him and to live for him. In many ways, that's my third question being answered. As you go home from here, where does this leave you? Worrying about the future? Wondering what COVID-19 might do? Or some other virus that might be unleashed upon us as human beings? Let me encourage you by these same words to recognize that where it leaves us is to be personal participants in this great proclamation of Christ among the nations, seeing him with great joy, being believed on in the world, and then on that day, glory, hallelujah, when the trumpet is heard, when the voice of the Lord is heard, we together may indeed be in that train to go to glory. This is the climax of history, beloved brethren. And as time ticks, that is where we are going. It is the Christian's blessed hope that we sing about in hymn after hymn and chorus after chorus. It is that which is our deepest longing, knowing that it is a matter of time it must come, and until we get there, we must labor on. The gospel has to reach all ends of the earth, until the last of God's elect has been brought in and Christ indeed returns. Oh, may we, as we will come to the end of this conference, and as we will be heading home, realize we have work on our hands. Let's get out there. Instead of worrying about ourselves, knowing that until he returns or calls me home, in his power, I will stand. And therefore, we shall go out there, labor for him, and do just that. Amen? Amen. Thank you.